Let me start with saying thank you that you sacrificed the time to listen to this German guy who's speaking about the work in Berlin. I also want to apologize because I know that's your Sunday school, so you normally would have good teaching here and be educated in the Word of God and the doctrines of grace and all those things. So therefore, I want to start with two verses from Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. They say, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth." If you know Isaiah, these verses are in the middle of the promise that God will rebuild Israel. And we know this is fulfilled in Christ. We know that the church is the new Israel. But in this promise, God calls man to do one particular job. He said he put watchmen on the walls, and they should never be silent. And then you could translate it like, "You who caused the Lord to remember, take no rest and give him no rest until he established." So God calls man to pray for what he will do. And that's how God ordained things. We believe that prayer is a means of grace. So God wants us to pray in order to give us grace, to give us Christ and all the benefits. And I read these verses, I think, 3 years ago, and it struck me that this is part of my job I have to do in Berlin, to pray until God has reestablished the church that used to be so glorious in Europe. I mean, it always struggled because it's still the church militant, but the Reformation was a real blessing on the continent. And what I want to do with you today is to invite you to pray with me, and not only for Berlin or Germany or Europe, but for the church and the world. I want you to pray so long until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. So let's start with this nice picture of a wedding. It's I guess you have weddings at your church. But this is a special wedding for me for two reasons. First of all, the man I was allowed to marry on that day, he shared an apartment with me when I moved to Berlin. So he was going to study German and Greek in Cambridge, and he used his first year after high school to get better in his German. So he came to Berlin to train German, and he connected it with the church plan to help us. And I was there, obviously, to work in the church plan. So we both weren't married at this point, so we shared an apartment. And it was a great encouragement for us. He's the son of an elder of one of our congregations, and he's just such a godly man. And he encouraged me to carry on, to do the work. And he was a blessing for the church. He invited people. He interacted with people. I think he was the man who brought most people to the church at the beginning. So that was a great encouragement. The second reason why it was a special day for me is the building the wedding was in. It's right in the center of Berlin, and it's called the French Dome. And it was built by the Prussian king in 1701, so this building is older than the United States. And it was built for the Huguenots, French Protestant Christians who had to flee because the King of France teamed up with the Roman Catholic Church and persecuted Reformed Christians. And the Prussian king just turned Reformed himself, and he invited them because they're good people. They have a good work ethic, and they can help the economy in Prussia. But he also knew when they come, they need a spiritual home. So right in the center of Berlin, which was the capital back then, he built them a place for worship. And he gave it to them. And up to this day, the French-speaking church in Berlin is meeting in this building on Sundays. And this reminded me of the great Reformed history that the city has. When the Reformation started, the Lutheran Reformation came to Berlin. It's 45 minutes on the train to get from Berlin to Wittenberg. So it was very fast to get to Berlin, and the Prussian kings and later the Kaisers, they become Lutheran, later Reformed, and they took it very serious. It wasn't just a cultural thing for them. It wasn't just to don't have the Pope over them anymore. It was the personal faith they had. So you could visit this building. The mission team might remember this. It's called the Berlin Dome, and it's opposite the street of the palace, so where the king lived and ruled and reigned and did all that a king is doing. And on Sundays, he would go out of his palace, cross the street, and enter into this dome, even after he breathed his last breath, because all the graves are in the basement of this church. And they went there for worship, and they made sure that close to where they live, they have a place where they can go to worship God there. So faith and the Reform faith was very serious for the rulers, for the governments we had back then. Even so far that when the first Prussian king turned Reformed, his wife refused to take the Lord's Supper with him because she was Lutheran. And we would say that's sad if we couldn't take the Lord's Supper with our spouse, and I think they were sad. But they took their faith so serious that they couldn't just wipe over differences in the sacraments. So they refused to take the Lord's Supper together. And that's the history. The Prussian kings, the German government, was not just culturally religious. They were deeply believing in those doctrines we believe today. They hold to the Reformed faith. But skip forward a couple of hundred of years. This is another church you can visit in Berlin. Unfortunately, you can't visit it for worship services anymore. It was built by one of our last Kaisers and was destroyed in World War II. And neither the church, which is a state church, nor the government thought it is worth to rebuild this church. Rather than they decided to make it a memorial. And it's not even a memorial for Christianity or for religion. It's a memorial for war. It's a war memorial. I'm not against that, but I think a place of worship ought to be a place of worship, even though we see the horrors of war there. It just shows us how far we are gone from what we used to be in Berlin or where we had been in Berlin. We are now at this place where the government can't care less about Christianity, and where even the church, the state church, can't care less about their buildings. They sell buildings to turn into mosques, to turn into gyms, to turn into art galleries. They don't want to keep the historic buildings anymore because it's getting too expensive for them, and they don't care. The German government rather supports the LGBT plus agenda rather than churches. We had the Christopher Street Day recently, and they put up rainbow flags on all of the government buildings just to show their alliance with these kinds of groups. So that's where we are in Berlin spiritually. Adding to that is a culturally diversity. We are a big city. We're the capital of Germany. We have the most art galleries in Europe at one place. And so a lot of people are coming in. A lot of people want to live in Berlin. And so that means we have culturally people from all over the place. And that, again, makes it interesting to be polite. With having Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, all kinds of religion. I think if there's a religion in the world, you will find it in Berlin. And so because of that, a young man who's a member of our church now, he realized the devastating state we were in, and he asked Kevin Bidwell, whom a lot of you know, he's on the right, on the left here. He asked him, when he started the church plant in Sheffield, he said to him, they were good friends, but what about Germany? What about Berlin? We need good Reformed churches here in Germany. And so the Lord put it on Kevin's heart that in 2012 he came over. And that's the picture of the first church planting Bible study they had in the living room of this young man. Kevin came, and this was the first group. The group grew. At some point we had two Bible studies, one in the north, one in the south of Berlin. And Kevin made the effort to come every month to Berlin to do a Bible study. I think he skipped December and I think 2 months in the summer. But other than that, he was there every month for 2 years to do Bible studies. And we're thankful for that. And we know he then just started Manchester and then he started Lincoln, and we don't know where he's going next. But we are thankful for that. And the group grew, and in 2014 I moved to Berlin, and we started to have midweek meetings every Wednesday. We had meetings on Sunday. We weren't an official church yet, so we weren't able to have services. I wasn't ordained at that point, so that was a little bit complicated on the mission field. You sometimes have to have compromises. But we had meetings on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We were committed to two services right from the beginning. And then in 2015, the church was constituted. And that's the picture that was taken after the constitution of the church. Kevin came, we had the Lord's Supper, received the first members, and we started the church with 8 members. I don't know if you ever started a church in the U.S. with 8 church members, but that's what we do. And that's a big number for us to start a church. And not everyone on the picture was a member back then. Some were visiting. Some who were visiting back then are now members of the church, so God added. But of these 8 members who came at the beginning, we knew that at least half of them will leave us by the end of the year. So if you look at the man, for example, on the left, he is an American. He worked with Crew, and he was just there for a year. And then the man I lived with for the first year, he went to Cambridge to study German and Greek. So we had a lot of people who left us. But God blessed us right in the beginning. We had a young lady who came to us with one of the Crew workers, and she just came to faith, and it was the first baptism we had in our church. It was a new believer who came from an atheist home, had never heard of Christianity, came to faith, and got baptized in our church. And a month later, a young man came to our church through, and he was interested in one of our church members, and they wanted to date, but he wasn't a Christian. But he came to faith through the preaching of the Word of God, through the ordinary means of grace, and God blessed us, and we grew, and God blessed us with a meeting place. This is our first meeting place we had. It was in a basement. We have a Korean-speaking Presbyterian church in Berlin, and they didn't use this place, so they let us rent it for free. We didn't have to pay for it, which is a great blessing if you just start with a church. And so we grew, and then they said, well, we need the building back on Sunday, so you have to find a new building. And so we found this building, and the mission team might remember this place. It is right in the center of Berlin. It's a coffee shop during the week, which is, again, run by Crew. So our relationship to Crew is running through our church plant. And they don't use it on Sundays. We were looking for a place where we could meet for half a year. We asked churches if they rent out. We asked office buildings. We looked at storefronts. We looked at everything. We either couldn't afford it or they didn't want to have us there. Until a church member asked another church member who's working for Crew, don't you have a place where we could meet? And just in 2 weeks, we were in this place. And that's the first service we had there, worshiping God. And we just see the blessing of God. God let the church grow. We are now 26 members. 8 of those are children. We have more children, but we have to baptize them all to get them into membership. So that's coming up next week. We changed the service times. We now have a service at 11, and we have a service at 2, and we have lunch together every week. And that's a great blessing, because that just let the church grow together. We introduced it as a session, and the churchmen said, we don't know, isn't that a too long time that we stay together? Don't we need rest in between? And after 2 weeks, they said, we need more time in between to have more time to talk. The services are too close together. Can't we just get the afternoon service a little bit towards the end of the day? So the Lord is blessing us. The church is growing. We see visitors coming because we're right in the government district, so tourists pass by. People who come to Berlin for German courses, they look for a good church, and they come to us for a month or two. We have students who join us. It's just a blessing to see how the Lord let the church grow with his blessings also come challenges, which is actually a blessing of the Lord as well, because it keeps us humble. So one challenge is outreach for us. The Lord let the church grow, but we can't be proud of it because we have done almost nothing for it. We really struggle to find a way how to connect with the people in Berlin. We encourage our church members to invite their friends, and they're doing that, but the friends don't want to come. We try to do events, we try to hand out flyers, we try everything we can think of, but there seems to be missing the connection. So I would invite you to pray for that. Another challenge with the growing church is we have a big, big need of elders and deacons. I'm the only man on the ground. We have borrowed elders, but they are in the UK. They're Kevin Bidwell in Sheffield, and then Phil Baden in Durham. And they can't be there every Sunday. They can't be there during the week. So with everything which has to be dealt on the ground, is it counseling, preaching, teaching, whatever, it's all my job, which I don't complain because I'm called to do that. But it would be great to have someone who could help with that. I'm currently preaching twice on a Sunday, doing Sunday school in the morning and the midweek Bible study. So my work week is basically consumed with that. But additionally, I have to do all the organization and administrative stuff because we don't have staff. We can't afford it. We can't pay it. We just started to give some of these tasks to men to see if they might be potential deacons. Well, that's a big need. Another need is our finances. We were blessed. We never had to worry about money until this year. So we are running for 5 years at the church. We're working at the church. We were always able to pay myself. We were always able to pay all the expenses we had. But now, this year will be the first year we will run into a minus. And we applied for funding at Presbytery because we got a big gift as Presbytery for church planting. But yesterday it turned out it's just for England and Wales. And due to charity laws in Europe, we can't get it as in Berlin, the money. So this is also... So we're struggling. We're not worried. We know the Lord will take care of it. It's His church. He will make sure that everything will be paid. Everything that is needed will be done. Will be there. And Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, not for our daily cake or steak. So God keeps us humble with that, that we look at Him. But still, I would like to invite you to pray for that. And then one of my biggest prayers is we need more churches. See, this is a map of Berlin, or at least how I think of Berlin and most people who live there. This is our public transportation system. Not everyone is using it, but everyone is referring to it. So if you describe a place where you went or where you are going, you always mention the next station, train station, U-Bahn station, subway station, whatever. If you want to meet someone, it's the easiest to do that. If we invite people to church, we say, you can just go to Brandenburg Gate and then you walk 5 minutes and you're right at the church. That's how we work and explain. And so the arrow marks where we are. And this is a good place because everyone in Berlin can reach us quite fast. I think no one has to travel longer than an hour. Having said that, we have members who live outside of Berlin, so they have to travel a little bit longer. But who lives in Berlin can get to church in half an hour, which is good in Germany. Germans don't like to travel. So if you have to drive for an hour, that's long. But that's not enough. You see, if you take a more traditional map of Berlin, these are the government districts we have. This is the church. And when I moved to Berlin, people ask me, what do you want to do there? What's the vision? Do you just want to have this one church and see what happens? And I always said, I think we need at least 6 churches to serve Berlin well. And people say, well, that's a bold statement. That's so I thought that's needed. When I came to the States in 2016, I met Roland Barnes. I guess some of you know him. And he said to me, you have to think big, but do the work that's ahead of you. And I think that's what I'm trying to do. But I changed my vision. I think this is a ridiculous vision to have 6 churches. I think we need at least 12 or 13 churches in Berlin. And I'm not ashamed of it. You see, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Thy kingdom come. which means we pray that God will build his church, that new churches will be planted, that new churches grow. And that's my daily prayer, that God will have another church plant in and around Berlin. We are 3.8 million people living in Berlin. That's the official number. People say it will be 4.5 million people daily in Berlin. This includes businessmen who travel, this includes tourists, but still, 4.5 million, and they estimate that under 1% of the Germans are born-again Christians. So there's a big, big number to be reached. We're thankful for every church who's preaching the gospel in Berlin, but there's a need, a big, big need for good churches. When we started the church plant, my wife back then, I didn't know her, she asked Kevin the question, why do you come? Why do you need to plant another church? Well, there's so many churches. Why don't you come and have one of the churches that are there? The issue is, that wouldn't serve Berlin well. We need more churches. And so that's why I would like to invite you as well to pray for more churches. We have a young man who just started seminary, the young man I mentioned at the beginning. He married a German, one of our members, and he's keen on coming back. He wants to be in Berlin as fast as possible. He's a bright guy. I think he will finish seminary quite quick. And we hope to have him back in 3 or 4 years to have him at the next church plant. So, as I said at the beginning, I want you to pray with me for the Berlin. So these are the prayer requests that I would like you to pray with me for. So, as I said, we need open doors or to proclaim the gospel. Paul often writes in his letters, pray for me that I have an open door for the gospel or that I have the liberty to share the gospel. I would like you to pray for us that we find these doors, that we have the liberty, that we speak when we have the opportunity, the possibility to speak. Pray for new church plants in and around Berlin. It's needed. Pray that the church will be financially self-supporting. I promise you I will come back. Maybe not next year or in 2 years, but I will come back. And I hope that when I come back, I will be fundraising in America for the new church plants and not for our church we are currently in. So please pray for that. And then pray for workers in the harvest. And this is where I want to challenge you. I know some of you can speak German, or some of you might be bright enough to learn German. If you could think about living in Berlin for half a year, for a year, or even longer, if your work situation allows that to live and work in Berlin, and you just join us as a normal member, not even as an elder or a deacon, we would be very happy. I would be so encouraging for the church to see people who are willing to sacrifice their time to come. I don't want to get the members out of Second Press, and I haven't talked to the session about that. And before you contact me, please contact your session before you plan your move. But maybe you know people who are in seminary who speak German, or who think about seminary, or who finish seminary, or anything like that, who would be able and willing to support us. I know if you have family and you have to relocate into another country and visa issues and all that kind of stuff, it's a lot of bureaucracy, especially in Germany. But that, I just think about it and pray for it, and pray that we will find men in our congregation that will be suitable for deacons and elders. That's everything from my side, so I could answer questions if you have some. Yeah. There's a lot of English-speaking work in Germany. There are some PCA churches due to the military bases we had, and they're still running. A friend of mine, Nick Bullock, I don't know, he's currently in Savannah. He's moving to Stuttgart in October to take the pastorate there in the church. So there are some English speaking. In Berlin, we have an International Baptist Church, but they are so broad that they have no clear theological profile. Oh, sorry. Just ignored. Well, I mean, It depends how you define persecution. I mean, they make fun of us, but everyone makes fun of Christians nowadays, so I don't know. More questions? Yeah.
Do you have a good supply of ministers that if you wanted to expand or were able to expand, you had the teaching elders to fill those positions?
No. Except for this one man who's in seminary now, so that's a prayer. God has to raise up the right man. But Jesus teaches us to pray for worker in the harvest, so I'm sure he will provide the right man. Oh, yeah. So historically, Berlin was an exception in Germany as being reformed because the eastern part of Germany was Lutheran after the Reformation and the western part was reformed. So we have this strip down from Geneva up to the Netherlands, which was reformed. But at one point in history, they both joined, and that was late 19th century after they introduced liberal theology already. So the main denominations are liberal. We have a church plant. Actually, it's not a church plant anymore. We have a church in Heidelberg. I don't know if you heard of Sebastian Heck. He might be known to some. He started a church there in 2010. They constituted a second church last year in Hanover, which is 3 hours away from us. So there's some confessional Reformed churches, but they use the three forms of unity. So they're not Presbyterian, they're Reformed. There are some witnesses, and then obviously the PCA churches. And then we also have some Reformed Baptist churches. Yeah. But not in Berlin.
Thank you, Johannes, for bringing us the word from Berlin. And a reminder, Johannes will be around for a little while afterwards, so if you have some questions you want to talk to him, please feel free to come up and talk to him. And again, a reminder that he'll be bringing us our message this evening at the worship service. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll pray for a few of these things that Johannes has brought to our attention. So let us pray. Our Father, our God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for the city of Berlin. We thank you for the church plant that's there. We ask your blessings upon it and upon Johannes as he carries out your work there. Father, we do pray for open doors in Berlin, that you will bring others that you will open their hearts and minds to your word and a desire to learn more about you. We pray also for the new church plants in the Berlin area, an awful large area of 3.8 million people. And Father, we do pray for your work there, that the vision of having additional churches there will take place, because we put our hope and our trust in you, and just lift that up to you and know that you will answer our prayers. And Father, we pray for the Berlin church, the financial situation of the church. We pray that in a short while they'll become self-sufficient. And Father, we do pray that Second Presbyterian Church will have a play in that. And Father, also the reminder that Johannes needs some helpers to help him in the church in Berlin. So we lift that up to you and pray for that, to pray for additional officers. We pray for elders and deacons to work there, to come alongside Johannes in the work ongoing there. So, Father, we thank you for this, and we thank you for this opportunity to bring in these requests before you. And we know that you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers in your wisdom. So, Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you for this time. And I pray that For those who have not been to the worship service, that you will prepare our hearts and minds as we worship you this morning. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.